heads and go to the Heavenly Father and give me thanks. Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we just come to you today, Lord, with happiness and joy in our heart for the gift that you've given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. The gift that was talked long ago has come from in fulfillment in a little baby. Oh, Lord, as we sung today, we'll never know how much it cost that we may stand in the presence of the Holy God again. Father, again, we are so thankful what you ask us to do, that we hear your call and we turn to you. Thank you again, Lord, for the birth of our Lord and Savior. I ask these things in the Son's holy name, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, let me start off by thanking each of you for this morning. I want to thank the ones that helped put this service on this morning. You know, we all have orders from headquarters. That's how I can put it. That's why I'm up here. Because I've got orders. Here I am. And we all do. Whatever that may be, however God may be leading you, we have an order. And you know what? We get to be part of God's plan. Ain't that amazing? So again, I want to thank you for coming, for being here today, as we come together and celebrate God's gift to each of us. The birth of our Lord and Savior. You know, being Christmas, I know folks, you have dinners and you have family here that's from out of town. And so I won't keep you too long. You know, I'm when I get a chance to talk about the Lord, I kind of go long-winded, but I'll try to do my best to not to keep you here too long, because I know you want to be with your families today. But again, it's the day that we come. We don't have a lot of time that we can come on Sundays, the actual day of Christmas. That doesn't really happen a lot. And so as far as the children of God, there's two great celebrations in the biblical calendar. One is the resurrection, Easter, and this one here, the birth of Christ, are very important to the Christian. And even to the non-Christian if they don't know it. Very important. So we come and we celebrate. So and we celebrate the birth of Christ today. But it's more than just the birth that we celebrate. We celebrate the salvation has come to mankind today in the birth of a little baby. Salvation is what this points to. I'd like to look at three things today: the Word of God given, the Word of God fulfilled, and the Word of God to come. So if you take your Bibles, if you have your Bibles, or take a pew Bible, if you take those and open it up to the book of John. And we're going to take a look at the book of John today. We're going to take a look at, well, we're going to look at quite a bit of Scripture, but I'd like us to look at the book of John. So open up the book of John to the first chapter, and we're going to read verses 1 through 5 and verse 14. And when we read this, I want to kind of focus on verse 4 and verse 14. We're going to build this day around these two verses, okay? Very important for us. Follow along with me. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Verse 4, in him was life. And the life was that of the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Let's go to verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. His glory. We dwelt among us, and we saw His glory. Glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. As we go through today, folks, remember those words. Those are for you. For us. The Apostle John wrote this letter. You know, most scholars believe they wrote it between A.D. 70 and A.D. 100. We're not really going to touch on that. There's a couple of different things here. But we can all agree that that's probably when this letter was written. He wrote it to the Jewish Christians of his day, but also he wrote it to the Gentiles of his day, which you can say that's us. John's message in his gospel, what was it? Well, it comes down to one thing. His message in his gospel is that Jesus, the Christ child, is the long-awaited Messiah. That's his message. The Son of God. The promise fulfilled. This is John's message. The Word of God has dwelt with man ever since creation. The Word has. We see this when we read the Scriptures. We see that the Word has been with man. The promises of God or the Word of God were given in the covenants to men like Noah and Abraham and Moses. They were given to them. You know, God dwells among us. Whom, you know, God meets with us. He met with these men. And He meets with them who are called upon to respond in faithfulness and obedience. God calls upon you to respond in faithfulness and obedience. That's what He calls. With these men, not only that we're not only to respond in faithfulness and obedience, but we're supposed to respond in trust in the promises of God. But, and not only that, it's God calls upon to trust, but He also calls upon for the child of God to bear fruit when he comes in fellowship with Christ. To bear fruit for His glory. That's what He calls upon. The promises and blessings that came through the Word of God were given throughout the Old Testament. All that promises and blessings all point to this. It all points forward to Christ's coming, who is the fulfillment of the promise and the source of all blessings. The Word given, a promise given. In the days of Exodus, I'm still in the Old Testament, in the days of Exodus, the Word was given to Moses. Oh, we read the story, it's a great story. We see what they went through. The Word was given to Moses to deliver God's people from the bondage of sin out of Egypt. God gave that to Moses. You know, and when we take a look at the story of Exodus, we see the story of the Passover. Now, those who've been in Sunday school, we kind of went over this a little bit, and I love this story. The very first Passover. Remember the story? Where Moses told them to shed the blood of the lamb and spread it on the doorpost so the angel of death would pass over. Remember that story? This story is a prelude that points to the promises of a Savior that will do the same for His people. The Word was given to Israel in a covenant. You know, and a covenant is a thing that God says, well, I'm going to do this. Okay, I'm going to do this for you. But you have to do this. And so we have an agreement. It's a two-party agreement. It's a covenant. God says, I will be their God. And they shall be my people. That's a covenant. And so the covenant and the promises of that were given to Israel. Of long ago. The Word, the covenant, let's take a look at the Ten Commandments and the law that was given. That is a covenant. The Ten Commandments and the covenant were given to the people but they had to do something. They had to be faithful and obedient to that word. And if they were faithful and obedient to the word, the promises were given to the people. And the promise at this time was a promise of land flowing with milk and honey. Well, that sounds pretty good. But there was also, it goes deeper than that. It was a promise of a land that they could start a nation. It was a promise that out of this nation would come somebody that would be a savior. Those promises long ago affect us today. You know, and from the promise of a savior comes salvation. Moses points to the one who's coming. When we read scripture, when I read scripture, you just see the Bible explode for me, and I see Moses pointing to Christ. He points. Long ago, he points. This is the word that's given to us. The Lord your God, he says in Deuteronomy 18:15, he says, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from among your countrymen, and you shall listen to him. The word was given constantly to the people of God. The word was given to the prophets of old. They spoke the promises of God to the people. They spoke of the coming of the Messiah. Well, we read in Scripture of the coming of the Messiah. We can go through Scriptures, and it talks a lot in different books about the coming of the Messiah. The coming of the Messiah, God with us. They speak of that. You know, the word was given to Isaiah, and I want to look at it in Isaiah 9, 2, and 6. And this is, I love this saying about Isaiah. Isaiah says, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in the dark land, a light will shine upon them. For the child will be born to us, a son will be given to us. And the government will rest upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. It points to the coming that why we're here today. A Savior that will take away the sins of the people that separate man and God. Salvation is at hand. This is the promise. You know, when we talk to people about the Lord, they go, what is the promise? What is it? And we kind of stumble. And it's very simple, folks. The promise is salvation. The promise is Christ. The word was given through the prophet Micaiah. The prophet tells that the Messiah is to be born in Bethlehem in a city of David, pointing to the birth. Throughout the writings of the Old Testament, God points to the virgin birth and the place of that birth. And he points to this. He goes, this will be a sign for you. A sign of the promise of salvation that's coming into the world. The word given. Now the word fulfilled. Turn with me to Matthew, if you would, in your Bibles. Open the book to Matthew. Look at chapter 1, verses 21 and 23. I want to take a little look there. The word fulfilled. Remember what we're talking. The word fulfilled. Follow along with me, will you? And it says in verse 21, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. Now, this all took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord to the prophets. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and she shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translates God with us. Salvation from the penalty of sin has come to all through the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is why we gather today. Why are you here? Why are we gathered? Why do people all over the world gather? To celebrate that salvation has come, the promise is fulfilled. The promise of God and the symbols in the Old Testament, when you read the book of the Old Testament, they all point to this. They all point to the coming of Christ. Think about this, folks. Think about this, brothers and sisters. All over the world, from Australia to Russia, to Asia to the Americas, to Europe to Easter Island, and everywhere in between, the world, not all, but most, comes together in celebration of the Savior. What event in the world, except one other that I know of, that will stop people and bring them together in the world? One is the resurrection. The other is the birth of Christ. No matter who you are, no matter what tongue you're from, salvation has come to you. The promise of long ago. The world, the promise of God is being fulfilled in a little baby. Christ has come into the world to take away the sins of man. Emmanuel with us. The world fulfilled. The word fulfilled. The shepherds were given great news. I can imagine. You ever think, it's just, man, I wonder what they saw or how they acted, what they did when they heard this great news. Well, they were given great news. In Luke 2:11, it says, "For today in the city of David, there has been born for you," and you could take that "you" as it's not plural. When we look at the Greek writing, it is a singular "you," so it's like pointing the finger at you. A Savior has been born, who is Christ the Lord. For you. For me. The promise of salvation and the penalty of sin has been overcome in Christ. Christ has come to man on this day. That's why we celebrate. He's come. You know, God requires the same from His children today as He did in the days of old. He requires this from you. Obedience and faithfulness. God requires this from you. If you're going to walk the Christian walk, if you're going to do mighty things for God, He requires obedience and faithfulness. First thing is, you must believe. You must believe Christ has come. You must believe that Christ is a Savior. Take a look at Luke 4:12. Ron read this so beautifully this morning. Now, let me just read this. And you guys, I want you to think about these words that Dr. Luke wrote. He says that, "And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." That is obedience and faithfulness, folks. You must believe. Looking in John 3:16, oh, we know John 3:16, who are Christians who walk with Christ, we know this. Oh, it's such a great passage for today. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son." And He says, "Whoever believes in Him." Here's the promise of salvation. Here it is. "Shall have eternal life." That's the promise. That's what was given to us, eternal life. In John 5:24, Jesus says this. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me," here's the promise again, "has eternal life." That's the promise. So, again, I say to you, what is the promise of salvation that comes to us through the birth of Christ? The promise is eternal life. In John 14:6, Jesus says the most profound words that anyone can read. He says, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes through the Father except through me." You know, Jesus tells us the reason why he was born. Have you ever looked in the Bible and found out why Jesus was born? Jesus tells us this very profoundly. We find this in John 18:37. John recounts the word, Jesus' words, when he says, "For this purpose I have been born." Excuse me. "For this purpose I was born. For this purpose I have come into the world to testify to the truth." Jesus gives us the reason why he was born. To testify to the truth. Remember, Jesus says, "I am the truth, the way, and the life." He testifies that. He said, "That's the reason I was born." Knowing this, as we celebrate the birth of Christ and the followers of Christ understand the joy of this day, as did the angels and the multitudes of angels and the heavenly hosts when they were praising God. We understand that. We see it now. We understand why they're praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men whom he is pleased." The promise of the coming Messiah has been fulfilled in the birth of Jesus Christ. Salvation is at hand. Salvation from sin is at hand. And it's handed to mankind in the form of a little baby. That was the promise so long ago. The Word made flesh and dwelt among us. Just like the first Passover, salvation is from the penalty of sin, which is death. It comes to each of us from the shedding of the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ, but that's another sermon. Okay, we'll talk about that later. That's a different sermon. Today we celebrate the coming of Christ into the world, salvation from the penalty of sin, because celebration... But wait a minute. Our celebration is not complete. It's not done. It's not complete. The Word of God to come. As children of God in the Old Testament, they look forward to the birth of the Messiah. As children of God today, we look back at the birth of the Messiah. But there's one thing else that we do today. We look forward to the second coming, the second Christmas. And this time, when he comes, he will come as a mighty king. He won't come as a little helpless baby, but he will come as a mighty king in all his glory. We look forward to that, that second Christmas, and he will bring salvation. Wait a minute, I thought you said that he had already brought salvation. Well, he has, to man. When he comes next time, he will bring salvation to the world, and he will eradicate sin from this world. Their sin will be no more in the second coming. He has given us the gift of the salvation in the first coming. In the second coming, he will take the sins of the world completely away. There will be no more death. There will be no more disease. There will be no more wars. There will be no more hatred. It will be paradise. In his second coming, that's what we look for as Christians. Praise God. He will remove sin completely. Sin will be no more. So I ask each of you today, do you know the Lord? Do you know the reason why He came? If you were sitting, I use this analogy all the time. I love this analogy. It's like sitting on a park bench and somebody comes up to the side of me and says, hey, why was the reason that Jesus Christ came? Could you tell them? To give eternal life. You could tell them. This is why Christ came. For salvation, to give eternal life. That's the reason of His birth. Do you believe that? Do you really, truly believe it? If you know the Lord, I ask you today, are you bearing fruit for God? Are you bearing? Do you know the joy of the Lord? If you know the Lord as your personal Savior, then I ask that you act upon those beliefs. Each of you, I ask you to do that. If you know that He is your personal Savior, act upon that. Act upon those beliefs that you have so strongly spoken of. Put into action the words of God in your lives. Seek after the Lord. Seek Him. Spend time with the Lord in prayer, in meditation, quiet time. Spend time with Him. Grow in His goodness. Grow in His grace. Seek His guidance in all things. Follow His ways. Follow Him. Bring glory to the Father, grow in the Lord. So what about it, brothers and sisters? Do you know that Jesus Christ is your Savior? Have you received the Word of God in your hearts? Have you? I hope so. Are you being called right now to come to Him? Don't be afraid. Come. Don't be afraid. If you don't know Christ, or if you don't have Christ in your life, come. Come. Don't wait. If you don't have the assurance of salvation, come. Don't wait. Come. And we'll help you. We'll help you seek that together. We'll seek God together, and we'll seek God's forgiveness together. Come. If you don't know the Lord, you know, I'm going to ask just for a short invitation right now. And this altar is open for those who have something to come to the Lord about. It doesn't matter if you don't know the Lord, if you do know the Lord. This, or you can say right where you're at, it doesn't matter. Let's spend time for, if you don't know the Lord, come and we'll help you. We'll seek God's forgiveness together. But if you do know the Lord, come. And give your cares and worries to the Lord. Let me take just a minute, right? A quick right minute. If this altar is open, if you want to come and pray right now, you can. If you want to come up here and pray with me or Bill, we'd be sure glad to help you right now. But come if you don't know the Lord. Let's bow our heads and just take a minute. Just take a minute. Again, folks, as we go through this day, remember the promise that God has delivered to each of us. The promise of eternal life. God loves you so much. He cares about you so much that He sent His only Son to shed His blood, the blood of the innocent lamb, so that death may pass over you. Oh, Heavenly Father. Thank you so much for this birth of the Savior, so that we may stand in glory with the Lord because of Christ. I just ask this in your Son's holy name, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, everybody.